Purity, we still need you here. Please come and sit on my chair. Because you're going to read the Bible for me. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? Last time we were together, we were talking about spiritual warfare, and I hope I'll be able to conclude today. I want to go very, very fast because of the things that we need to share today, and I've lined up a video that I would like for us to watch. It's a video that I promised, I think, about a month ago that we would be able to watch. It's a nice video. It's going to be an encouragement to you. Praise the Lord. And I would like to appreciate every one of you, particularly those who are here for the very first time. We are going to give you an opportunity so that you can say who you are to us and so that we can welcome you in our church. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you have been really blessed by the series, or have been blessed about knowing a little bit more about maybe things you knew, or a little bit more about spiritual warfare? How many of you have been blessed? Amen. Praise the Lord. My goal or my intention is for us to be sensitized about the warfare that we are constantly engaged in. And when we engage in ourselves in the spiritual battle, we need to have this guarantee that we are more than conquerors. Amen? And that God has designated for us to be winners. So even as we talk about the devil and as we talk about the warfare, I don't want you to feel like we are really magnifying him. We are not really magnifying him. But we want to be aware of what normally happens in our day-to-day activities. We want to be aware of why some things happen in our lives and why some things that, you never expected happen in our lives. I need you to be aware and to pull up our antennas and to know that we are constantly engaged in warfare. And if there's anything that the enemy would do, is to hinder you from the purposes of God. It is to hinder a Christian, a believer, a born-again Christian, from reaching that position, that place whereby God is really the Lord has a consummated relationship with that believer. Because as when you get to that position, you become a very dangerous liability to the enemy. And so he would really work hard 24/7 to make sure that you don't get to that place. Praise the Lord. And the enemy will use people. He will use things. He will use the things that we deal with every single day to obstruct you. The enemy will obstruct you from prayer. The enemy will obstruct you from reading the Word of God, because he knows that once you apply yourself and apply yourself to the Word of the Lord, that is how faith is going to build up in you. And once you get that faith, as we were talking the other day, it will open up the door to the unseen realm. And once you understand what happens in the unseen realm, child of God, you will never pull up off the covers when you're supposed to wake up. When it is time to wake up, you will throw those blankets and get to your closet and begin to talk to God. God has given us weaponry of war. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, the Bible tells us that the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. In other words, I was talking with my wife as we were coming this morning, and I was telling her, if we as children of God realize the power that we have, that even if you spend only 5 minutes, 5 authentic minutes before the Lord, you can change your environment. You can change the environment of where you work. You can change the environment of the circle of people who relate to you. You can change your whole family setup. Yesterday I was doing some research, on some word of God. I just engrossed myself in the word of the Lord. And I happened to go into this site. I know some of you have gone to. I know I was introduced to T.B. Joshua by Pastor Karanja. And I happened to just dug into his deliverance services. And in one of his services, there was this guy, a young man who was demon possessed, and his life was really going astray. And his dad was a member of that church, and he decided to bring the entire family into the church so that they would be delivered. And sometimes there are some things that normally happen, but when you see them happen, you wonder, oh, it is good for me to know, have this, to have the pre-knowledge about the activities of the enemy. That way I am really aware of what happens. And so during this deliverance, this guy, he was being prayed for, and now the spirit of the devil, the demon that was inhabiting him, just manifested, and he started speaking. And this is exactly what he was saying. And I liked, you know, the way they interview, they kind of get one-on-one with those demons so that, you know, so that the church may be aware of what happens. And this guy was a young man, and he said, he was being asked, the man of God was asking him, is that your father? And he was saying, no, that is not my father. I am 2 days old than the world. In other words, that's the demon now speaking. And he said, that's not my father. And by the way, I don't like that man because he really prays so much. And he hinders our activism, and I've been trying to destroy him, and I've been unable to destroy him. You know, and the devil was talking, started talking, and he was talking. This one thing that really, and that's the reason why I'm giving you this story. This is what he told me. I don't know why this man came to this house to pray. Because 4,000 years ago, their generations, their roots, when you look at their linkages, they have been worshippers of idols. But when he came to this man, and he's talking, addressing now to his father, this is where the buck stopped. He stopped the cycle of the worship of idols. And now we've been mobilizing because we know that the moment this man begins to pray, all his children and the children of his children will cease worshiping the idols, and they'll start worshiping that man who lives up there. And he was not even mentioning the name of the Lord. And that's when I realized this thing is not just, you know, it's not just play. When the enemy looks at your life, he doesn't just look at you. He is looking way, way, way before. And there are things that could have been attached to you, even from generations past. And you who knows the Lord, you have the power and authority to say, up to this point, going forward, the worship of idols is not going to take place in our family. Whatever my great-great-grandfather did, it has haunted them and it has hindered their progress up to that far. And the enemies, you know what? They might have been chasing you because based on what your great-great-great-grandfathers did, but you as a child of God, once you have known the devices of the enemy, it is time to say, I don't even know what my great-grandfathers were. I don't even know what they engaged in. But what I know that is that I'm a child of God. And up to this point going forward, our generations, my children, and the children of my children shall be worshippers of God. Are you listening to me? And let me tell you, the devil is going to try to stop that because they have been using your linkages and your kindred for years and years. And now here comes you who has come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you and he has saved you and he has separated you from the things of the world. And now you have known him and you have started communicating with him. You have a relationship with him. And when the evil spirits look at that, they are very mad at you. But you know what? This is the encouragement I want you to have. The Bible tells me, oh God, and I thank God for my wife. She reminded me of this scripture. And this is what it says in the book of Romans chapter number 8, number 38. Sister Lorraine, can you give me that? Romans chapter 8, number 38. Romans chapter number 8. You can go into your Bibles if you want to. This is what the Bible, Paul speaking to the Romans. This is what, listen very carefully. Listen, now that you are a child of God, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, remember we spoke about real rulers in the heavenly places, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, somebody say powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, have the power to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to have said a big amen for that. That is a revelation that you need to carry with you every single day of your life. That no powers, no depth, no things created, no powers, no principalities. My forefathers would have given themselves to the idols of devil worship. They may have worshipped them. They may have worshipped idols. They may even have connected themselves with the divine sources of the principalities of hell. And they may have done that, and the devil may have used them. But up to this point, no power, no principality, no created things can separate me from the love of God. And from my time, from my position, and from the generations to come, we will be worshippers of God. We will live for the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you listening to me? So we need to be, not to be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Hallelujah. and I was really encouraged. And I thank God, because at the end of the day, to finish up my story, this man, he was being interviewed, and I said, "What do you see?" "I see fire. I see the fire every time I encounter a man that is delivered by the blood of that man up there. I see fire. I cannot even come close to them." And he was prayed for and he was delivered. And he came to his senses and he was not even aware of what was happening. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 11, and we have read this scripture several times, the Bible talks about the weapons of war, the armor of our warfare. Ephesians, chapter number 6. Put on, thank you, Sister Lorraine. The Bible is telling us, put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Can we go ahead? For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces, evil in the heavens. Continue. This is why you must take up. See, in the beginning of Ephesians chapter number 6, the Lord is telling us or admonishing the church, take up the full armor of God. And right here, I believe this should be verse number 13, it is telling us this is why you must take up, again, he reminds us, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the day of evil. And having prepared everything to take your stand. Now, the Bible continues down there and it tells us, therefore, with the truth like a belt around your waist, it talks about now the weaponry of warfare. And that's what I want to talk about today. And then we're going to watch a video, and I hope I'm going to have time for us to watch that video. Praise be to God. Now, the Bible talks about the helmet of our salvation. Now, what comes to mind when we talk about the helmet of our salvation? Now, mind you, that the articles of the armor of war are meant for offensive and are also meant for defense. There are some articles, there are some elements of the armor, of the whole armor of God, that will be used as a defense, and some of them will be used as an offense. So the Lord wants, not only just wants us to defend ourselves from the attacks of the enemy, but he wants us to get into the enemy's camp and also be on the offensive. Somebody say amen. So the Lord, he wants a Christian, a born again Christian, not only to be a defendant. You know, sometimes if I talk in terms of the sports that we have today, we have the line, I don't know whether they're called the linebackers or defenders. You know, their work is to defend their opponents from scoring a goal. But we also have also some, like if I talk of a soccer, we have somebody who normally attacks the goal. So the role of a Christian in this warfare is not just to defend yourself from the attacks of the enemy, but we are supposed also to use the weapon, some of the element of the armor, to attack the kingdom of the enemy. Are you listening to me? That's why you have the sword of the Spirit. And that the Bible says the sword of the Spirit is what? Come on, let's say all together. It is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. And also the prayers. Finally, as we conclude in Ephesians chapter number 17, along that passage of scripture, the Bible says that, and also pray and stay alight in this with all perseverance and intercession. In other words, it says all kinds of prayers for all the saints. Prayer is also an offensive weapon. You can storm into the kingdom of the enemy through prayer. Praise the Lord. If we know how much prayer, how much power God has invested in prayer, every believer in this house would never go a single day without even kneeling beside their bed and telling God about something. You know, you pray for your children, you pray for your wife, you pray for your family, you pray for your place of work, you pray for everything that is connected to you, you pray for your church, pray for your pastor, pray for everything the Holy Spirit is going to bring to you. And I guarantee you that the words that are spoken, that are authentic and go into the presence of God, they have mighty power into both demolishing strongholds and arguments that it rises up against the Lord. Now you'd ask me this question, Pastor, why are so many things happening? Let me tell you, if every single believer here would really take their position and pray, some of the things that happen in our town, in our city, in your neighborhood, that you read on the net and on the media, you would never see them, because the power of prayer penetrates and brings down. It is the word of God that says it brings down arguments that are set up against the Lord. Are you listening to me? So we are talking about the helmet of salvation. Now, what comes to mind when the Bible says, put on the helmet of your salvation? What does that speak to you about the salvation? What does that speak to you? How did you get born again? Now, when you're talking about salvation, it means that you have been given power and authority. In the book of John, chapter number 1:1, the Bible says that all those who have come to me, all those who have believed in me, I have given them power to become. Come on, say it like you mean it. You've been given power to become what? Sons of God. You've been given power to become a child of God. So when we're talking about salvation, we are talking about the power and authority. You need to be clothed in that power and authority, even as you confront the enemy, as you defend yourself from the attacks of the enemy. You need to know in your know that you have the power and authority as a child of God. But to all those who did receive him, how did you receive him? You received him by believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Hallelujah. And you confessed with your mouth unto salvation. You believed into your heart unto righteousness, and then you confessed your mouth unto. Is that not what the Bible says, or it says the other way around? In the book of Romans 10:10. Okay. But to all those who did receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God. There's no way you can be a child of God if you've never accepted him as the Lord and Savior in your heart. You are given power to become a child of God when you accept him through the gift of salvation. And to all those who believe in his name, praise be to God. So you need to know that when you have the helmet of salvation, number one, you have power and authority. Somebody say with me, power and authority. Okay, I want you to concentrate. That's why I want you to say this. Say power and authority. Yes, you have received power and authority. Now, what else comes into mind when you talk about salvation? I can only go to John 3:16. What does John 3:16 tell us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him may not perish, but may have an everlasting life. So we talk, what we see in that portion of scripture, we see that God so loved, hallelujah. You have received God's love in your heart. And so when you're clothing yourself with the helmet of salvation, what you're doing is you have the love of God accompanying you. Praise be to God. That when the enemy looks at you, before he can even strike you, he is seeing the love of God in you. He is seeing the power and authority that is in you. Praise be to God. What else do you think about when you talk about salvation? The forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. You are forgiven. So when you're faced with the enemy, you're not just facing him like any ordinary person. You are facing him, or he is facing you, as a forgiven Christian. Hallelujah. Your sins have been forgiven. Amen. And behold, everything. You're a brand new creature. Amen. You are a born again creature. Praise be to God. So when the enemy looks at you, he is seeing that helmet of salvation. He is not just seeing it written salvation, but he is seeing everything that is connected to the gift of salvation. And so he must be very careful, because when he is contending with God's love, he has to really know that, you know what, I have to really be sure who I'm dealing with, because I'm dealing with the love of God. I'm dealing with one that has been given power and authority. I'm dealing with one whose sins have been forgiven. During this interview, this demon that I possess this guy, he said, he was lifting up his hand in a kind of a showing a sign, and he was saying, why are you doing that? He's saying, I'm doing that because I belong to sin. Sin is what we capitalize with. Sin is like the major, it is like the moving currency in my master's kingdom, in the devil's kingdom. So when the devil looks at you and he sees that all your sins have been forgiven, he says, you are of the other kingdom. And we are of this kingdom. So when I'm dealing with you, I'm dealing with you not because of who you are, but I'm dealing with you according to the person who resides in you, according to the person who has forgiven you the sins. And when I'm looking at you, I'm looking at you as one who has been delivered, as one whose sins have been forgiven. Praise be to God. When we talk about salvation, what do we talk about? What are we talking about? I'm talking about Romans 8, chapter number 1. And the Bible says this: for now there is no condemnation to those who are in. Turn to your neighbors, tell them, if you know that they are born again, tell them there is no condemnation in you. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Before you know the Lord, before you are born again, this is exactly happens, that you inherit Adamic sin by the virtue that Adam and Eve fell into sin, that was transmitted genetically into every human being. And so every child that is born on this earth, he is born as a sinner. No wonder the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you know what? The Bible says that when we come to God by faith, we become justified in Him. Praise the Lord. So in other words, it's just like this. You know, you're having a case before a judge, you know, and you're going into a court of law. And you know, in yourself, you feel like, oh my God, I don't even know what the verdict is going to be. I don't know whether I'm going to be pronounced guilty or I'm going to be pronounced innocent. If you have a case and maybe you've hired a lawyer, and maybe you've ever had a case before before a court of law, you know, you're full of anxiety because you don't know how the verdict is going to end up. But you know, for a Christian, you have a sneak peek of the judgment. And the sneak peek of the judgment said, justified by faith. Amen? You have been made the righteousness of God. So it is not by your own work. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I think chapter number 58, Pastor Francis, that your righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. It is not how much we can work hard, you know. It is not our work. It is not our ability to please Him. It is not what we can achieve. I have seen other people in other religions who are not Christians. They can do anything to please their God. I've seen in other cultics, people, you know, they like I was seeing this movie, from India, they would go sit on nails, you know, like they would be, have you seen that movie? They would sit on nails so that then they would, oh, tabara, 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 they are praying to their dead God. And this is the intention, that because those nails are plicking them, that the God, who their God, small g, will hear them as they are being plicked, and maybe He would hear. I've seen some people cutting themselves so that their God would hear. You know, how would it be if our God would be like that? That would really, really work hard. In fact, think about what He says, that your self-righteousness, your own righteousness, your own righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. Think about it. But you know what? We have been accepted. We are justified by faith. Don't you love that? That you know what? It's not because of my effort. It's not because of what I will do. You know, I can come out of here and I can get angry because somebody cut on the line. That doesn't change God. Mama Maya, your daughter might come and tell you, Mommy, I don't even like you. And you might be even get angry. What are you trying to tell me? You're still justified. Are you listening to me? It is not because of what you do. It is not because of exactly what is going to happen to you. You've been justified by faith. Praise be to God. Amen. When you talk about salvation, we are talking about everything that is connected, putting on the helmet of salvation. Amen. Now, we talked about the shield of faith. The other time I talked about faith. So I don't think I'm going to dwell with that so much. About faith, I talked to you about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things hoped for, not seen. I even we spoke about if you have every single one of us as a measure of faith, amen. And it doesn't matter, you know, how small that faith is. The Bible says if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and you can speak unto it and tell it be moved, and it shall be moved. As long as it is a chip from the Lord God Almighty, it doesn't matter how insignificant, how small it is, but it has power to do the same things as a big measure of faith. Are you listening to me? So faith allows you to penetrate. It opens up a door. It's kind of like a bridge that leads you into the unseen world so that God opens up the door and you can see whatever happens in the unseen world. And we also saw that the everything that we deal with on our physical realm is as a result of things that have been instigated or that are happening in the unseen world, and they become manifest in the world, in the realm that we can see. And we also saw that the fact that we may not really see what happens in the unseen realm, it doesn't mean that those things are not there. There are things right now that are, there's warfare that is right now taking place. Even against this church right now as I speak. There are some maybe demonic agents that have been assigned to come and cause you to be distracted. And to think maybe what I'm preaching, or, you know, cause them to think that, you know, whatever the pastor is preaching is not false. Where does it say that? Cause them to doubt. But I render them powerless in the name of Jesus. Any demonic force, I render powerless in the name of Jesus. And when I pray, we get to pray, I come against every evil forces, against every family in the name of Jesus. I declare victory and success. I declare that our eyes be opened in the name of Jesus, that we may see beyond the realms that we are dealing with, and that we may know that we are more than conquerors. When I get to prayer nowadays, man, I get a militant. Because I realize that the devil is also militant. I pray for my children. I pray for your children. I pray for my wife. I pray for everything. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. That's why when you come here, you know, don't be intimidated. Because let me tell you, as a matter of fact, when you're doing other things, you'll be surprised. When people are doing other things, they are so energetic the way they do those things. You know, if you're working, you're working, and you don't want to play. When you're doing cleaning up your house, you can move your muscles. How about when you come into the house of God, we're praising God? Lift up your hands. Amen. Lift up your hands, open up your mouth, sing unto God, declare the praises of Him that has saved you. He is the one that sustains you. He's the one that keeps you. He's the one that leads you. He protects the enemy from attacking you. Man, when you know what He has done for you, when I come here, I don't want to be intimidated. I want to clap unto God. I want to lift up my... Who cares what somebody says? Let them say that. When I know what my God has done for me, I will tell people what Jesus has done for me. I will tell them, you know what? Jesus loves you very much. It is a warfare. You know, don't be intimidated. And I understand some of us come from work and I know you are tired. But you know, God renews our strength. Amen? God renews our strength. Amen? Let me tell you, if it were not for God, even some of us would go to sleep. I understand, because remember what Pastor Nyongesa was telling us the other day? If you listen to this body will tell you, oh, sleep a little bit. You know, it is Sunday. This is the only day that you have. You know, come. You know, pull the blanket a little bit. The service begins at 11. Sleep a little bit. You think it is your mind telling you that? Okay, what mind tells you at Monday? The work starts at 8 and you wake up at 6. No, can we talk? On Monday morning, if your work starts at 3, what time do you leave your house?
1.
Thank you, Purity. You leave at 1 because you know there's going to be traffic on 70? Negwo, is that not true? Think how the devil works it. And you know, imagine. Think how he works it. Because you know that when you get there late, you're going to not get the money. Time is money in America. But on Sunday, this is the only day that I have to sleep. But as a matter of fact, Sunday should be the day that you wake up earlier than even Monday and to Friday. So that you can come. Let me tell you, this house, it might be a rental building. But this house is dedicated to the prayers of, to the, it is called the house of the Lord. Because you and me are children of God and we have come here. Sunday is the day that I wake up early. I press my clothes on Saturday so that on Sunday morning, I don't get delayed. And when you come here early, you know, you cleanse this atmosphere. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. And please love me. Yeah? I'm not really stepping on anybody. I love you. You know that. And I pray for you. And I love every single thing that is connected to you. If you don't wake up and come and pray, who is going to pray? Let me ask you. Are you expecting only the pastor to come and cry out and, oh, Lord, Matthew, kule amale mwa thani, kule mo hair tuo? I can do that, but I can only chase 1,000. That's what the Bible says. If you don't come to, we gather together, How about if maybe 10 million have been assigned to Empowerment Christian Center because the devil has seen that in this area, this is the church that is causing trouble here. People are coming here Friday crying out to God. You know? And the angelic beings have really been, actually they have told, leave all those other, leave those other places because we don't see things happening there. It's dead thing, you know, the dead things. But this church here, every time they are praying and crying, we are seeing smoke going out everywhere. What is happening? So imagine, I'm just coming. I can only chase 1,000. Seriously. And I'm not saying even sometimes I also come, I'm feeling demoralized too. I'm also under attack. There's nobody to help me pray even so that you can kwamura me up so that I can go ahead. Are you listening to me, Jimmy? We all need each other. If there are 3 million, Pastor Francis, I need you to come here and join me so that we can chase them. And let me tell you, man, let me tell you, even if it's just 5 that would come here and we start worrying, you'll be getting into that door and you'll be feeling the presence of God. Have you not experienced sometimes when the ground is well prepared, when you come, you can even feel it. But there are sometimes when you're trying even to sing and you wonder, what is happening today? The music is really going down. People don't want to clap their hands. People don't want to lift their hands. It's oppression. And it is real. Please, I hope you love me. We are exposing the devil. Amen? The shield of faith. All right. We talked about that. Okay, the other thing that I want to talk about, I'm not going to dwell on this so much, the breastplate of righteousness guards our heart. Our protection is the breastplate of righteousness, and that righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, I think I was reading this yesterday, we have been, and I already told you, we have been justified by faith. Amen? We have been justified. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen. It says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have our access. Somebody say access. Let me tell you, when I read this, oh my God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Sometimes you may feel like you don't have that peace. The peace that he gives you is not like the peace of the world. Have you ever, sometimes you're going through some crazy day and people are against you, but still you have the peace of God. Amen? We have peace with God. In other words, the peace that God is talking about here is the peace that nothing can come to attack you that when he is not aware and he is at ready to dispatch his angels to fight for you. You are at peace with God. Should he come, you are at peace with him. You'd go live with him. Amen? Through him, and also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Turn to somebody, tell them you have access. That thing that has cost you, you have been justified, you have been made the righteousness of God through faith. Amen? And you have been given access. You have been given access into this gracing. My God, Pastor, you have been given access into that gracing. Therefore, through the words that you can confess, you can say, my children are going to be great. They shall be great. I will never worship any evil spirits. You shall never worship evil spirits with your children. You have been given access. You have been given an access into that gracing. This access has not been given everybody. It has been given only to those people that have received Jesus. Those that have been justified by faith. Mama Maya, you have access. That's why in the secret place you can speak to your father against the cancer that is attacking your father. And even though some children of God prayed for him, you enter into that place whereby Jesus, where Christ is. And you can say, no more sickness over my dad, and it shall be so. No more routing of my children, and it shall be so. I will be prosperous even though you not have money. My God, you are worthy. That is not determined by how much you have in the bank. If you really believe this word, you are in that excess. God will link you up with the people. Oh God, I wish somebody can get it, that we have been given the access into this grace, so that we can speak things and they can happen, so that we can speak against the powers of and the wiles of the enemy, and they will never attack us in the name of Jesus. The situation might not detect so, But you've been given access. You've been given access. Let me tell you, church, if you're not aware, the enemy is routing. And he started a long time ago. He's trying to bring things that will demoralize you. It might be through your children. It might be through your work. It might be through your business. You check out your life. Even if go talk to your wife today. Examine your life. Or talk to your children. Or talk to your family. Or examine. Talk to yourself if you don't have anybody here. Talk to yourself. Examine your life. You see, this one, things are happening and I don't even know why they're happening. You think they're happening just like that? Hindrances. People trying to oppose you. People trying to come against your work. It is the devices of the enemy. But let me tell you, child of God, the reason why God wants us to know that we have the access is that you can declare things in the spiritual realm. No matter what you did, declare things in the spiritual realm. Like you were telling us, Purity, about your boss. Trying to undermine her. You know how organized she is? And somebody just decides, you know what, this lady, she's not going to go anywhere. And out of the blues, man, out of the blues, the boss of our boss calls her. I want you to tell me something about your boss. And immediately the thing is solved because she has an access. And she has accessed the peace. She has accessed the authority. She has accessed the power and authority. Are you listening to me? Do not allow any demonic activity to come near you because you have the access. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory of our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Love that. May the Holy Spirit expound that more. I may not have told you the way you are supposed to hear it, but go and ask the Holy Spirit to expound, to make it explode into your life. If you ask the Holy Spirit to make it explode into your life, he will tell you so many things. Amen? 1 Peter 2:9, Sister Lorraine. I'm almost winding up so we can watch that video. 1 Peter 2:9. This is very powerful. This is what it says. But you, in spite of all the wars that are being waged against you and your family, in spite of all the things that happened in the four generations before you, listen to what the Bible talks about you. But you, a child of God, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen generation. Let me tell you, if you are a chosen generation, my God, when you come into this house or when you're in your closet, you dare do anything what you do because you know who your father is. You are a people who are a chosen generation. When I come here, I don't want to walk like a rained on chicken. I want to walk majestically like a son of the king because I am a royal priesthood. I've been plucked out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory be to Jesus. You walk like somebody who has something. Are you listening to me? You know, you do your things like somebody who has been delivered from the powers of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness. You've been made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, 20 to 21. Listen to what the Bible says. I'm talking about the righteousness. It is not because of the things that you have done. It is not because of the things that you did, but you've been justified. You've been made righteous by God. And when the enemy sees that breastplate of righteousness, he is seeing somebody who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. His case has already been made. The devil might want you to believe that you have seen this or you have seen that or you're doing the other or you're not being faithful in this, but let him know that I've been justified by faith, that I've been made the righteousness of God by faith. Are you listening to me? And this is what Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It is through his death. And it is by faith that you've been made the righteousness of God. Turn to somebody, tell them, I am the, you are looking at the righteousness of God.
Not because of the things that I have done. Come on, tell them. Not because of the things that I do. You might criticize me because I've not don't come to church early, but that doesn't erase the fact that I'm the righteousness of God. But from this point on, I'll be coming to church early. I'll be lifting up my hands up. I'll be dancing when I'm told to dance because I'm the righteousness of God. I will tell other people of who I am. I will tell them about Jesus because I'm the righteousness of God. Huh. Glory to Jesus. Not because of what. Do not look down on me because I have no money. Hey, person said, na $20. I'm still the righteousness of God. And I have the access. You wait when I tell God that God sent some money to me. And it might take 1 year and you might be criticizing me. But the moment, because I have the access, when the money begins to come, you will know pastor really is blessed. And you will know that God is starting to bless him. Do not look down on me because I don't have anything right now. And you might be seeing me with one suit on and you'll say, hey, pastor, meshiwa. Wait. Wait. I recognize the fact that I have the access. And I'm telling the Father about something. It might be on my 20th day. Daniel didn't give up, but he still prayed. My suits might be held up. My money might be held up. But on the 21st day when it is manifested, you would have said, na pastor, kwani ameanza kuabudu nani? Because I have the access. Do not be intimidated by the job that you're doing. God is going to link you up with men who can bless you. God can link you up with men who can give you just an information and cross you from suffering into beauty and into your ashes are going to be. This is Sanskrit what I say. Say, God is going to. Say, can you say it, Pastor?
Beautiful ashes.
Yes. He's going to turn your ashes into beauty. Amen. Hiya. This is good. And the last one. The last one is. Let your feet be clothed in the preparedness that is brought by the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. When the enemy looks at you, he's seeing that your shoes, your feet are clothed by the preparation that is brought by the gospel of peace. When he sees that armor, he will try to protect you from even sinners so that you may not tell them about Jesus. Trust me, you have what it takes. Let me tell you. The Bible says, you're the light of the world. Just let it shine. Let it shine. And when you talk about someone and they don't want to listen to the Lord, don't worry about it. God never told you to save them. He told you just to tell them about the goodness of God. When you know about the goodness of God, won't you share it with somebody? Won't you invite them to church? Thank you for all of you who invite other people to church. When you know somebody does not go to church somewhere, tell them, hey, can you come to Empowerment Christian Center? Who knows that the word of God, the Bible says the word of God is active and alive. When that word penetrates into their hearts, it has power to change them. It has power to bring that which is stocked up inside of them and bring a change out in their lives. All you have to do is tell them, God is good. God is faithful. He loves you. You know, and don't get worried about what is going to happen if they reject you by the face. If they rejected Jesus, what are you to be rejected? See, they rejected Jesus. Some of us are intimidated because, I've been seeing this neighbor and I don't want to tell them about Jesus because they might reject me. Hold on, Jesus was rejected. If they reject you, they're not rejecting you. You know, there are some people in your workplace, they hate you. And you feel they hate you. They're not hating you. If Jesus would be just, and God forbid, if Jesus would be just removed out of your life, you become the best friends. But just because Jesus is in you, that's why they hate you. Jesus said that they don't hate you, but they hate you because you have me inside of you. Are you listening to me? You are clothed with the shoes of the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. Tell people about Jesus. It is a weapon of war. It is a weapon of war. And let me tell you, if you don't have it, you're going to be attacked. And you know why he's going to attack you? When you don't put yourself with the preparation of comes from the gospel of peace, because he will tuck your feet so that you don't go and tell people about Jesus. So make sure that you have it. And if you're afraid to tell them about Jesus, you can just smile and be good to them and act kind to them. Be a letter, be an epistle that when they look at you, there's something will be different. Are you listening to me? Somebody was giving us a testimony here on Thursday, and I'm concluding now, about how he was just conversing with a person, you know, in their place of work. This guy was complaining. Remember what I told you about not complaining?
And this guy too, this brother, actually is a brother who comes to our church here, still in the sisters' morning. He also goes through hard times. But he's just to smile to this guy when he was talking. And this guy complained, and he was complaining about our work. And everything just changed. And he said, do you go to church? And now the conversation was changed from what they were talking about, work. And they started talking about Jesus. That's what we are talking about. That people will recognize that thing which is so unique in you. That you know you are not in the bandwagon of those who complain or do other things, wrongful things. You are unique in the way you do it. Are you listening to me? Let that power attract people towards you in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. Can you bear with me so that we can watch this video now? Have you been blessed? Sister Lorraine, can we do it? Now, I would like to warn you. Some of the imagery you're going to see here is a depiction of what normally happens. Okay? So I'd like you not to feel like scared or threatened by what happens. But the information is very, very vital. Okay? All right. Can we listen to it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lord.
Combat in the heavenly realm. By John Mulindi, November 2000. I want to share a testimony with you of someone who is saved. Someone who had been serving the devil. And when this man gave his testimony, it so challenged me, I did not want to believe it. I had to go 10 days before the Lord in fasting, asking him, Lord, is this true? And at that time, the Lord began to teach me what happens in the spiritual realm when we pray. Now, this man was born after his parents dedicated themselves to Lucifer. When he was still in the womb, they made so many rituals dedicating him to serve Lucifer. When he was 4 years old, he began to exercise his spiritual power, and his parents began fearing him. And when he was 6 years old, his father surrendered him to the witches to go and be trained. And by 10 years, he was doing great things in the kingdom of the devil. And he was feared by the normal witches. He was still a young boy, but he was so terrible in the things he did. He grew up to be a young man in his 20s with so much bloodshed on his hands. Killed at will. He had the ability to go outside of his body through transcendental meditation. He could levitate. Sometimes his body would lift off the ground and stay in the air. And sometimes he could go into a trance and come out of his body would remain behind, and he would go out into the world. This is called astral traveling. And this guy was used by Satan to destroy so many churches, to break down the churches, and to destroy many pastors. One day, he was assigned to destroy a church that was full of prayer. There were so many divisions in this church and many confusions, and he began to work on the attack of this church. But at that time, the pastor called a fast for the whole church. As the church began to fast, there was a lot of repentance and a lot of reconciliation. And the people came together and they began to pray for the work of the Lord in their midst. And they continued interceding and crying to God to have mercy and intervene in their lives. As the days went by, this man was coming again and again with demon spirits against this church. But there was a word of prophecy that came telling the Christians to rise up and wage warfare against the powers of darkness that were attacking the church. So one day, this man leaves his body in his room and goes astro traveling. He leads a mighty force of demonic spirits against this church. Now this is his testimony. His spirit was moving in the air over the church, trying to attack it. But there was a covering of light over the church. And suddenly, there was an army of angels that attacked them. And there was fighting in the air. All the demons fled, but he was arrested by the angels. Yes, arrested by the angels. He saw himself being held by about six angels, and they brought him through the roof of the church, down before the church altar. There he was, and the people were praying. They were deep in prayer in the spiritual warfare, binding and breaking and casting out. The pastor was on the platform leading the prayers and the warfare. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to the pastor. The yoke has been broken, and the victim is there before you. Help him through deliverance. As the pastor opened his eyes, he saw this young man collapse there. His body was with him. He was in his body. The young man says he doesn't know how his body joined him. He left it back at his house. But there he was in his body. And he didn't know how he entered, except the angels had carried him through the roof. Now, these things are difficult to believe. But the pastor silenced the church and told the church what the Lord had told him. And asked the young man, "Who are you?" The young man was trembling as the demons began coming out of him. So they prayed for deliverance. And afterwards, he began to share his life. This young man has now come to the Lord and is an evangelist, preaching the gospel. He is being used by the Lord mightily in setting other people free by deliverance. Now, it was difficult for me to believe this story. So, one night, I went to a dinner. And the reason I went to the dinner is that someone told me that this young man was going to be there. And I was so curious to see him and to see if his story was true. So, at the dinner, this man gave his testimony. He talked about many things. Sometimes he cried because of the things he did. He shared how he led expositions into the air. He would go with other satanic agents and lots of demon spirits into the air. It was like a shift, and you got to go work on your shift. So he had a set time for him to go out and wage war in the heavenlies. And listen to what he said. He said that in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, if the land is covered under a blanket of darkness, that blanket is so thick, it's like a rock, and it covers the whole area. And these spirits are able to go on top of this as well as below this blanket. And from that level, they influence the events on earth. When the evil spirits and human satanic agents leave their shifts, they go down on the earth at the points of covenant, even waters or on the land at points of covenant, for refreshing of their spirit. And how do they refresh their spirit? Now listen to this. By sacrifices that people give at the altars. There could be sacrifices in open witchcraft, sacrifices in bloodshed of all types, including abortion, including warfare, and human sacrifices, and animal sacrifices. There could be sacrifices of sexual immorality, where people go into sexual perversion and all kinds of promiscuity. And these sinful acts actually give strength to these evil powers. And there are many different types of sacrifices. He said that when satanic agents are up in the heavenly realm and the Christians begin to pray on the earth, the prayers of the Christians appear to them in three forms. All prayer appears like smoke that rises up to the heavens. Now, some people's prayers, they appear like smoke, and the smoke goes drifting along and disappears in the air. These prayers come from people who have sin in their lives, and they're not willing to deal with it. Their prayers are so weak, and they're blown away and disappear in the air. The other type of prayer is also like smoke that rises up until it reaches this rock, but it does not break through the rock. These are usually people who try to purify themselves, but they lack the faith in what they're doing as they pray. They usually ignore the other important aspects that are needed when someone prays. The third type of prayer is like smoke that is filled with fire. As it rises up, it is so hot that when it reaches the rock begins to melt like wax. It pierces the rock and goes through. Many times, as people begin to pray, their prayer looks like the first type. But as they continue praying, their prayer changes and becomes like the second type of prayer. And as they continue praying, suddenly it ignites into fire. And their prayers become so powerful, they pierce through the rock. Many times, the evil agents would notice that the prayers were changing and becoming very close to the state of fire. Then these agents would communicate with other spirits on the earth, and they would tell them, "Distract that person from prayer. Stop them praying. Pull them out." Now, many Christians yield to these distractions. They are pressing through. They're repenting. They're allowing the word to check their spirit. Faith is building up. Their prayers are becoming more focused. Then the devil sees their prayers are gaining strength, and the distractions begin. Telephones ring. Sometimes in the middle of very intense prayer, the telephone rings, and you think you can go answer the phone and then come back and continue praying. But when you come back, you go back to the beginning. And that's what the devil wants. Other kinds of distractions come your way, even if it means touching your body and bringing you some pain somewhere. Even if it means making you hungry and you want to go to the kitchen and fix something to eat, as long as they can get you out of that place, they have defeated you. Pastors, you must teach your people how to pray. Set aside some time, and not just for some casual prayer. They can do that the rest of the day. Once in a day, a Christian should have a time when they are totally focused, wholeheartedly on God, nothing distracting them. And if people persist in this type of prayer and allow themselves to be inspired in the Spirit and keep going and keep going, something happens in the Spirit. The fire touches the rock, and it melts the rock. When the melting begins, it is so hot, no demon spirit can stand it, and no human spirit can stand it either. They all flee. They all run away. Then there comes an opening in the spiritual realm. And as soon as this comes, all this trouble in prayer stops. The person who is praying on the ground just feels like prayer is suddenly smooth, so enjoyable, so powerful, and intense. And I discovered that at that moment, we normally lose conscience of time and other things. Not that we become disorderly, but God takes care of our time. But it's like you lay down everything and you hook up with God. With prayers going through, from that moment, there can be no resistance at all. And the person praying will continue as long as he wants. There's no resistance that can stop him. And after he finishes praying, the hole remains open. And he said that the people, they rise out of that place of prayer and they walk out. This open hole moves along with them. They're no longer operating under the blanket. Now they are operating under open heavens. And he said that in that state, the devil cannot do what he wants against them. And the presence of the Lord is like a pillar from heaven resting on their lives. They're protected, and there's so much power inside that pillar that as they move around, the presence touches other people. It discerns what the enemy has done in other people. And as they talk to people, and those people are standing with them, they come inside this pillar. And as long as they stay inside that pillar, all the bondages of the enemy weaken. So when these people who have this spiritual breakthrough share Jesus Christ with sinners, their resistance is low. It's so easy to bring them through. When they pray for the sick or pray about things, the presence which is there makes all the difference. And this man said that the devil hates such people. And if there are places where prayer is regularly being prayed through like that, the presence comes upon that place and does not leave. So even the people who don't know God, when they come into this place, suddenly all the bondages are weakened. And if someone cared just to minister to them patiently and with love, they can easily be pulled through. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God who is present. And if no one bothers about these people, and they come into his presence, they feel convicted, and they begin to debate whether to yield or not. But if they're not pulled through, when they walk away from this place, bondages get stronger. And the devil tries his best not to allow them to come back into such an environment. Okay, now you can imagine we're all sitting down looking at this man tell his story. And he was telling us of the things he used to do and what he has seen. Then he told us what they would do to people who have broken through in prayer. He said that they marked such people. They studied these people. They dug up everything they could find about these people so that they knew their weaknesses. And when someone overcomes them in prayer and breaks through, they communicate with other spirits and say, "Target him with this. And with this, these are his weaknesses." So when this person walks out of the prayer closet, the spirit of prayer is upon him. The presence is upon him. His spirit is high, and the joy of the Lord is his strength. And as he moves, the enemy tries to bring those things that can distract him from focusing on the Lord. So, if his weakness is in the area of temper, then the enemy is going to cause people to do things that anger him. And if he is not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he gets angry, and loses his temper. Then he takes his eyes off the Lord. And being angry, he feels so furious. And after a few minutes, he wants to put that behind him and move along in the joy of the Lord, but he doesn't feel it anymore. He tries to feel good again, but he doesn't feel any good again. Why? This is why. Because as he yielded to the temptation, they worked very hard to close the door upstairs. And once they restore the rock, the presence is cut off. And that person does not cease from being a child of God. But that extra anointing that goes on his life, that presence that could do things without his manipulating anything, is just cut off. Because the evil spirits seek out where your weaknesses are. If a person's weakness is sexuality, then the enemy will prepare people, events, and something that will suddenly draw out that man's sexual passion. And if that man yields to this temptation and opens his mind to receive these thoughts, entertains them, then when he is through with everything and wants to move again in the anointing, he just discovers it's no longer there. And maybe you say, well, that's not fair. Just remember what the Bible says. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we normally don't see the need for these weapons of warfare. But remember, Jesus told us how to pray. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Every time you have a breakthrough in prayer, as you come to the end, remember you are still a weak human being. Remember, you have not yet been perfected. So ask the Lord, say, Lord, I've enjoyed this time of prayer, but when I walk out into the world, lead me not into temptation. Don't let me walk into the devil's trap. I know the enemy is setting a trap there. I don't know what form it's going to take. And I know I'm still weak in certain areas. If I'm just put in the right place, I'll yield to them. So Father, please protect me. When you see me turning the corner to where the trap is, just cause me to turn to the other side. Intervene, O Lord. Don't allow me to move just by my own strength and ability. Deliver me from the evil one. God is able to do it. So if something bad happens that gets your eyes off Jesus, just say, thank you, Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote, thank God in everything. Some things are not good. They're painful. And we wonder why God would allow it. But if we only knew what he is saving us from, we would thank him. When we learn to trust in the Lord, we just thank him for everything. And this man said that when you break through in prayer, the answer will always come. He did not know a case when prayer broke through and the answer did not come. He said, the answer always comes, but in most cases, it would never get to the person who asked. Why? Because the battle is in the heavenlies, and the answer may be hindered if they can successfully cut off the open heavens and restore the rock. And then this man spoke something that really shook my faith. I mean, I had to personally fast for 10 days to ask the Lord if this was true. So hear this. The man said that every Christian has an angel serving him. Now, we know from the Bible that there are ministering spirits to us. He said that when people pray, the answer comes in the hands of the angel. The angel brings the answer, just like we read in the book of Daniel. But then he said something really tough. If the one who prays knows the spiritual armor and is clothed with the spiritual armor, then the answer comes by an angel who is also clothed in the full armor. But if the one who prays doesn't care about spiritual armor, then their angel comes without the armor. Christians who don't care about what kind of thoughts that come into their mind, they don't fight the battle in their mind. Their angels come without the helmet of salvation. Whatever spiritual weapon you ignore on earth, the angel doesn't have it as he serves you. In other words, our spiritual armor is not protecting our physical bodies. It's protecting our spiritual exploits. When the angel is coming, the evil spirits would focus and look at him and notice the areas which are not covered. And those are the areas they would attack. If the angel has no helmet, they would shoot at its head. If he had no breastplate, they would shoot at his chest. And if he had no shoes, they would try to make fire to burn his feet. Now, I know this is hard to believe. I'm just repeating what this man said. We asked him, "Can angels feel fire?" And you know what he said to us? Remember, this is the spiritual realm. These are spirits dealing with spirits. The battle is intense. And when they overpower an angel of God, the first thing they target is the answer he is carrying. And they take that from him. And these are the gifts that are given through the cults and through witchcraft. Remember what the Bible says in the book of James. It says, all good things come from God. So where does the devil get the things he gives to his people? Some people who cannot have children, they go to witch doctors and Satanists, and they get pregnant. Who gave them that baby? Is Satan a creator? No. He steals from those who don't pray to the end. In the Bible, Jesus said, "Pray without ceasing." And when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will Jesus find you still there waiting? Or will you give up and let the enemy steal what you prayed for? And they're not satisfied with just stealing the answer. They also are interested in detaining the angel. And they start fighting him. Sometimes they succeed in holding and binding the angel. When that happens, the Christian is a victim on earth. And they can do anything with the Christian because he is totally left without ministry in the spirit. I said to this man, "Do you mean that an angel can be held in captivity by demonic forces?" Now, he was just sharing his experiences. And he said that they wouldn't hold the angel too long because as other Christians prayed elsewhere, reinforcements would come and the angels would go free. And if the Christian responsible did not pray through, he remains a captive. Then the enemy sends his own angel as an angel of light to this person. And that is where deceptions come in. False visions and false prophecies, false leadership, leading and guiding and making all types of wrong decisions. And many times this person is open to all kinds of attacks and bondages. I left that dinner so troubled. I said, "Lord, I don't even want to try to believe this guy. It removes all my confidence and my security." When I went to seek the Lord, it was 10 days. And the Lord did two things. He not only confirmed the things that I heard, He opened my mind to see a lot more than what was said. And secondly, he led me to see what we are supposed to do as the things are happening so that we can overcome. These three important things. Number one, how to operate with the weapons of our warfare. The Bible calls them the armor of God. And it's not our armor, it's God's armor. When we use it, we are allowing God to fight on our behalf. Number two, understand the relationship of the ministering spirits, the angels, to our spiritual lives, and to be sensitive to what is happening in our hearts as a leading to what needs to be happening in the spirit concerning us. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not supposed to come as our servant, serving us and bringing things to us. He does not run to and fro to the Father and tell him what we need. That is the work of the angels. But he stands by our side, doing what? Guiding us, teaching us, leading us, and helping us to pray the right way. And when these things are happening in the spiritual realm, he tells us. Sometimes he wakes you up in the night and says, "Pray." And you say, "No, my time has not yet come." And he says, "Pray now." Why? Because he sees what is happening in the spirit. Sometimes he says, "Tomorrow, fasting." And you say, no, I'll start on Monday. But he understands what is happening in the spiritual realm. We should learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He guides us in the paths of righteousness. We've got to learn to break through in prayer, to maintain our breakthrough once we've scored it, and let it become enjoyable. Hallelujah! There's enough of God's grace and enough power for victory. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Have you enjoyed it? This is the missions of the enemy being exposed. So that's not supposed to scare us or to make you feel like, what is going on? But it's just a little thing. There's so much more that takes place. But it just kind of gives you a glimpse of what happens. Let's stand on our feet, please. Amen. I'd like you to hold our hands together. And I'd like us to pray before we can hear announcements. Make sure that your hand is held to somebody else right now. My Heavenly Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every family that comes to Empowerment Christian Center. I pray, Lord Jesus, as your servant, that no wiles of the enemy will be able to penetrate into the families of these people. These are your children, Lord, and their names are written in the book of life. I pray that you shall usher them, Lord, even into deeper knowledge concerning how you think about them and how mightily you want to use them in the name of Jesus. Every single one of them is important and essential to the kingdom of God. And I pray, Lord, even as we delve into the knowledge and wisdom about what happens, Lord, into the unseen realm, that you shall unveil greater things. Lord, I put a hedge of protection round about each one of them, around their minds, around their families, around their children, around their jobs, around what they do, around their minds, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that the fire of God, Lord, will be flaming round about each one of them, in the name of Jesus. Lead them, Holy Spirit, into paths of righteousness. Oh, Lord, help us to turn a corner, Lord, and deliver us from evil in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray that the zeal of the house of God will grow up each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. That it will not be as business as usual. That we'll rise up, oh Lord, knowing that we are who we are in you, oh God. Take our positions and be responsible in the things that you've placed upon our lives. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Charge them, Lord, with the responsibility. Each one of them, Lord God, even to charge against the forces of the enemy. And even to be ambassadors of Christ in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Let there be a blanket of your power upon each and every one of them to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody who loves him.